This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, normally on Her Vantage, we focus on speaking about specific women and the incredible journeys and accomplishments. But today, we'll be looking at how the workforce landscape is changing and what role women will play in what's called Industry 4.0. Here to discuss with me is Fong Lai Lin, who leads an event called Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific, and she's also from ESSA Worldwide. And we have a gentleman here with us today, Raja Tegarajan, president of the Industry 4.0 Malaysia Association. Maybe we should start with the basics first. What do you mean when you talk about Industry 4.0?
So I'm going to take this question as far as the country is concerned. The Industry 4.0, or the fourth revolution, as a lot of people are actually using this buzzword for businesses, is the culmination of data technologies and data itself. If you really want to answer the start of the first, second, and third revolution, we've seen such a big change when it comes to business landscape. And what we are seeing now is the fourth revolution, kind of creating a parallel market for most of the companies. As you can see that one of the scope that's going to happen is that 67% of jobs currently will be made redundant. This is actually by 2027. What is going to happen is jobs currently going to be replaced by data scientists or big data, cloud-based system products. So this is where we need to really look at changing the mindset or the people's perception how they do business today.
Right. I know you said 2027, and that has an impact on women as well. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, though. But let's look at the opportunities with Industry 4.0, and let's focus on SMEs, right? What are the opportunities for SMEs moving forward?
Okay. So we have to start with the problem statement. Like, you know, why do we need this the fourth revolution? So to identify some of the things that we can actually do is to seek for productivity gains or to lower our costs and all that stuff. So as you know, China is actually becoming a very big market at this point. And, you know, most of the countries can't compete with their volume and innovation and all that stuff. So I think when US and Germany started this, the fourth revolution, and they figured, like, you know, this is the way we can actually move forward. They looked at utilizing these cyber-physical technology together to form the essence of moving companies back. I'll give you an example. In a factory, when you have thousands of employees, and now currently going to be replaced by robotic arms moving items together, and at the same time, they're going to be reducing costs and errors, which is prone to human errors and all the stuff. So this is where the computer systems like the artificial intelligence and algorithms will be based on reducing this errors.
And what are the challenges of adopting Industry 4.0? Is it cost largely?
It is cost. As far as the association is concerned, we would like to create more homegrown talent when it comes to this products. Like, you know, we're talking about tools and applications which is coming from Germany and US. They are very expensive for our SMEs. Mind you that 98.7% of Malaysian companies are SMEs, and they form the largest supply chain for the MNCs who are based in Malaysia. So in order to actually kind of facilitate or still continue doing business with these MNCs, we need to change at the same time. So cost is a factor, and this is where we are actively canvassing or telling the government that you have to give incentives to promote Industry 4.0.
Right.
When I say Industry 4.0, MIDA has also come out with a differentiating factor. Industry 4.0 is largely to manufacturing, and the Industry Revolution 4.0 is into all SMEs. Mm. So I can actually give you examples how service industries can actually move towards utilizing cloud-based system or AI to kind of maneuver largely customer-based businesses.
Okay, for example?
I run a hotel and I have to employ front desk, housekeeping and all this stuff. So let's put it this way, the front desk may be made redundant because I'm going to use a cloud-based system and an AI product which has direct
self-check-in.
Self-check-in, exactly. That's what we have in Amsterdam and Europe and all the stuff. So it actually kind of gives a kind of a niche market because, you know, the growing numbers in millennials who are always connected. So this is something that I think most businesses will have to look at, productivity, like, and how can you lower the cost and increase gains.
Right. And how are you guys working together here, Lailin, with the event, Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific, and of course you're from Mesa Worldwide. How did you guys start partnering together?
Well, interestingly enough, we was through an introduction through another friend, and that's how we got to know the Industry 4.0 Malaysia Association. The basis of the Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific was actually born out of the interest in Singapore, the Singaporean government in this case, where they said that the Industrial Fourth Revolution in this case has always been a topic of discussion over there. And they actually have a functioning roadmap. And then Hannover Messe, which is the birthplace of Industry 4.0, decided that we needed to do something in Southeast Asia to tap into that market. And then, plus and therefore, the exhibition slash event became part of the ecosystem over here. But in the case of working together with Raja, we thought that because they were coming from a standpoint of wanting to champion Malaysia as a industrial 4.0 platform, we, as Malaysians, have always been undermined in thinking that we only do certain things. Mm. But we actually have a lot of homegrown talent that we don't really highlight. And we always like to say, oh, don't bother me. We want to be in the background. We don't want to have to be known as being purveyors of technology transfer or even becoming known for what we are doing. And through them, we have worked together in terms of promoting not just homegrown talent, but also encouraging Malaysians to go and be more forthcoming with taking in technology into their companies.
Right. And the fact that the event is held in Singapore and not Malaysia, mm-hmm. are we planning to do something here?
I cannot say for sure at this point in time. We are looking into options, of course. We could do a mini version, but we do not want to, you could say, oversaturate the market. In Malaysia in itself, we already have a lot of baby events that are piggybacking on the Industry 4.0 topic. But do we need another one that is on the same scale as the one in Singapore, for instance? It might be done in Singapore, but it's more regional than anything that you could imagine. The reason why, Singapore in itself has got more than 30,000 regional headquarters. And of that, 1,700 comes from Germany. Mm. And as we know, Industry 4.0 came from there. The Germans said, why do I need to come all the way to Malaysia and transfer all of what I have here? But I can showcase it there and bring everybody in. So that's why we thought it would be, in terms of cost, a little bit more efficient in that case. And at the same time, would be able to carry on the fact that Singapore may not be, known for manufacturing, but can be the platform to highlight such important topics.
Okay.
It's going back to Hannover, for instance. They are not known for manufacturing. Neither are they known for industrial automation. But they host the largest Industry 4.0 event every year in April.
Right. And of course, you know, at the event, the event is basically to help companies to start, scale, and sustain, right? So what are we looking at when you talk about start, scale, and sustain? What kind of solutions are we looking at?
At the get-go, when visitors or participants coming to the event, they have this interesting learning journey, as we call it, where it's almost like a tunnel in which they go in and then they participate in answering a bit of questions, trying to gauge their level of knowledge. And then at the end of it, they will come to the stage where they say, okay, I am ready to understand what Industry 4.0 is. And then if not, I am starting, so please talk to me a little bit further. Or I am a trailblazer. Trailblazer meaning I'm already adopting Industry 4.0. I want to do more, but I do not know where else can I apply Industry 4.0 solutions. Because it doesn't mean that you have your entire supply chain already jigged out for Industry 4.0. It can very well mean that you have only your software systems, which is digitalization, but is half of your labor force in the factories already gearing towards Industry 4.0. Are you looking at reducing that as well? So it there's a lot of factors in this case.
Okay, so whether it is 4.0 end-to-end,
mm-hmm.
is not the case for most organizations,
no.
right? Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about how this affects women and women working and women entrepreneurship in just a moment. I'm here with Rajatigarajan from Industry 4.0 Malaysia and Fung Lai Lin from Messel Worldwide. Stay tuned to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good morning, this is Frida Liu. I'm here with Rajatigarajan, President of Industry 4.0 Malaysia, and Fung Lai Lin from Messel Worldwide. We're talking about the Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific Conference, but also how this impacts women as well. You know, Raja, you were mentioning earlier on about how with this, it affects women, right, in their jobs. How so?
I'm going to touch part on the gender equality, first of all, because I think we can think that the first, second, and third revolution, we're not seeing a lot of women coming out and championing the work. Mm. But with the fourth revolution, there's no ceiling per se to say that, you know, women can't do what men are doing. So I'm just going to put it out there that the trajectory that companies will have to look at of improving, because we need more workforce in this country, and we need the woman to kind of come up front and do what is the current technology.
Mm.
One of the McKinsey study has been proven that by 2025 that women will improve the GDP by 4.5 trillion for Asia Pacific alone. That's actually the size of Germany and Austria. So with that, it only gets better, because, you know, with Industry 4.0, we see a lot of gains. We see a lot of reduction in costs and all this stuff. We do see that companies are becoming very competitive. Why not just take that to the next level with women being a part of the entire landscape?
Okay, so this is some stats here. It said that mostly women will probably lose their jobs in 2027 if they don't upscale to 14.0. So how much of the jobs are this around women? You know, what kind of jobs are we looking at?
Mostly homemakers, the businesses that have actually been running from home will be lost, because, you know, they can't compete against other businesses when it comes to supply chain and all this stuff. I'll give you an example. I do look at small, medium businesses or petty traders who are mostly women, because they want to support the families. And when I see them, you know, taking that business to the next generation, their children and all this stuff, and they are losing the traction, like, you know, they have no business and they can't get the clientele because everything now is digitized and everyone's going online. And how do we actually improve their lives? I'm saying that, you know, you have to take your business online. In other words, you know, how can you actually sell? There was this florist. How can you sell flowers online so that you can actually get much better in selling?
Right. So these are more micro businesses.
Micro business.
Micro business, not so much. What about women in entrepreneurship? I'm talking about the larger one as well. Women entrepreneurship programs tend to be less technical and data driven, and not addressing a chunk of the workforce, which actually drives industries forward. What kind of industries are we talking about?
Services. We're looking at manufacturing. Even fintech has grown because of the technology that actually kind of focus. So these are the things that women can actually kind of focus on. To me, it's more on breaking the mindset and the barriers on who can actually kind of champion Industry 4.0. And there is a lot of avenues. They are not well represented in the leadership role itself when it comes to Industry 4.0, that we feel that, you know, they can actually step up and say that, you know, it's a level playing field when it comes to technology. Industry 4.0 actually breaks through education, social, politics, and whatever you're not. So it is a platform that most people can actually kind of elevate themselves.
Yeah.
So I believe that women can actually kind of capitalize on this.
Right.
Platform.
So moving forward after the event, what's going to be happening in Malaysia? Are we going to have smaller events here? What are we going to do to sustain this, to, you know, keep the message going? I mean, are you all working together on other things?
Yes, we are. In fact, I think we'll be championing a little bit more involving the bigger event, which is in Hanover. every April. We're hoping to work towards getting more and more Malaysians, women, of course, in play, because we see a lot of them who want to come in. They have visions in wanting to be more in the, you could say, in the limelight of championing women entrepreneurship, being more in tech, for instance. And Hanover, in this case, has always, you could say, host women in tech conference at the event in itself. So you could see a predominant number of women who actually do come in. And in the case of how women here in Malaysia will lose their jobs if they don't move forward with the industrial revolution, in the case of even being in factories, because we are predominantly known as one of those who do work on the factory line. And once robotics come in, you lose that. So if you don't upskill them, then they will lose an entire, what you call it, pothole of income that they could have. So in this case, we are also trying to see whether more and more women can be in the engineering line or taking up more of the data science, what you call it, portfolios in this case. Because while we know men to be more analytical in some sense, but women are also very detailed in a lot of other things. So in this case, by working together, providing the equal work opportunities in this case, by not just going to the one in Singapore, but also going to the one in Hanover. And in terms of also within Malaysia, we had a recent roadshow that we involved YB Nurul Iza. And she spoke about TVET, in this case, vocational training, and how one needs to upskill. And we were quite worried when we heard that the number of young, what do you call it, students between the ages of 16 to 26, in this case, would lose jobs because they don't know any better. They don't have the skills or the training to be able to get into the workforce. And if this case does continue to go on and we're already suffering from 14.5% of them not having jobs, where are they going to go when this kicks in? And although we don't see the industry 4.0 being a huge part in the Malaysian culture at this point in time, because a lot of people have that mindset in saying, do I really need Industry 4.0? But you can see, not just from the manufacturing sector, but from the service sector, even from the political mindset, that we need to move to Industry 4.0. And in this case, we hope to, you know, through more roadshows, through having more panel sessions involving not just the industrial experts, in this case, like Bosch or even Siemens, but also with homegrown talent that we had with the panel session. For instance, Najib from the Malaysian Aerospace Industry Association as president, he said that we need to sing our praises. We don't sing enough of it. And thus and therefore, women in this case also needs to come out to be more brazen about what they want to do, because if not, then you'll be left behind. And when you're left behind, you won't get the kind of opportunities that are already in place.
Okay. You know, we talked about the loss of jobs and the evolution of jobs, right? So where we are right now, what should be the primary focus? Is it training and education or implementation? What should be the main thing right now?
I would say awareness, creating a mindset or ecosystem where people can actually accept Industry 4.0, then we look into education and reskilling and upskilling. For those who have actually been in the industry itself, you should be looking at upskilling yourself to the next level. In other words, putting into maintenance of robotics, you looking at coding and stuff like that. This is one of the things the government has been looking at, introducing coding in schools, which I highly recommend, because the kids need to really understand what the future holds. There was a panel discussion when someone asked me, are we looking at an era of Terminators, you know, robotics and all this stuff? It's not to be feared in the sense that, you know, humans shouldn't fear that the robots are going to take over the jobs, but we'd be working next to each other. Like, you know, there's still human touch when it comes to Industry 4.0. So we feel that we should be ready with the mindset to accept, to embrace, because Industry 4.0, whether you like it or not, it is here.
Right.
And it is a evolution.
And I think moving forward, like if women are listening to this, how can they work with you, whether it's entrepreneurs or working women in corporations, what can they do coming forward, moving with you?
We've been creating a lot of roadshows and workshops to kind of educate and give them training. Like, you know, we're working with some of the education arms, like Penang Skill Development Center, if I'm allowed to say that, to curate programs, especially for women or leadership. Currently, we are working on a Leadership 4.0 because when it comes to a hierarchical structure in a company and all this stuff, you're looking at different structures. Like, you know, you have the policymakers who are actually all baby boomers and who have been in the industry for the last 30 years. And you have the supervisors, the managers in a different era. And then you've got the millennials working on the floor. So we need to break that barrier. Like, you know, the entire Industry 4.0 workshop will teach that you need to have the right mindset in order to make Industry 4.0 work for your company. And that's what we want to take the teach the women, especially, what we feel that it is not a job for an IT department. You can't delegate such a thing. It's actually a holistic approach when it comes to introducing such tools and application.
Yeah. All right. On a note, thanks for being with us, Raja Tyagarajan from Industry 4.0 Malaysia Association and Fong Lai Lin from MESA Worldwide. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, the FM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.